So, if you would believe it, it only occurred to me this morning that I'm preaching this on the day of my ordination, which is kind of funny, but for those of you who have been following along the past few weeks with the flooded books and the move and everything else, you might think that, understand that I sort of dove into the commentaries for the week and thought about it in that sort of way and did not think about an application to my own life. And that's kind of funny. And like I said, I just realized it this morning. One of the interesting things about this passage, too, is half of it is all this stuff that we really don't care about. The first half of it is nice. It is talking about the fulfillment of this prophecy of Isaiah, and that's nice, and it's good to see this entire thing in context, but it's hard to apply that particular lesson to our own lives. And we care about it in the sense that, yes, this is the continuing story of God and God's people, that these are the things, the way to read Isaiah into the New Testament is, here is the person walking along in these ways. But by and large, we are not so literal a people. I don't look for my prophecies to specify times and places. Some people do, and that's fine. But that's not the way we generally do it these days. We generally think in terms that are broader, in terms of the promises of God, not necessarily the predictions of God. And so we read that, but what we get to, the part that really talks to us, is this call of these four people. The first disciples of Jesus Christ. Not yet apostles, just followers, the same as you and me. And one of the things that speaks to us in this passage is that if we read the entire Bible, we see that when people are called, it's not usually by prophets. We see the prophetic words Jesus has, repent, for the kingdom has drawn near. And if you were paying attention during our 18 different sermons on John the Baptist, then you'll see this is a very similar message to John the Baptist's message. John the Baptist, prophet of God. But if you read the Old Testament and look for calls, for someone saying, come and follow me, it is not the prophets who call. The prophets attract followers through their energy and the truth of their words. It is God who calls us. It is God who called Isaiah. It is God who called Amos. It is God who called Jesus. That's more complicated. And now Jesus is calling the disciples. So we have in this message the differentiation between Jesus the prophet and Jesus something more. And that's an important thing to read in this. It is a reversal of what we're used to seeing. And it reminds us that Jesus' words here are not simple wordplay. Now, those of you who have read both the Revised Standard Version and the King James Version may recognize that in our earlier English translations, they were not called to be fishers of people. They were called to be fishers of men, which shows you what happens when you get poets translating the Bible as we did in the time of King James. And it's great wordplay. But what's happening there is so important for our lives. Because it is the day of my ordination, I was called to do this. I tried for 10 years to not do this, and I found myself unable to answer questions about what I was doing, about the ultimate good of what I was doing when I was working in software companies, even when I was working in telestroke services trying to help remote rural people get access to modern stroke treatment. I could not answer the question, what does this have to do with helping the rest of the world? What does this have to do with bringing hope to people around me? I could not do it. And I envy a lot of people who are called both to be a prophetic voice and also to do things like provide important medical services in the world. My friend Jimmy Lin, I don't understand how he does it. He who speaks nationally on faith and science matters, he who in his spare time from getting an MD, PhD, and a Master of Arts in Religion started a nonprofit to help do genomic sequencing for rare diseases in his spare time. But that's not what I was called to do. And maybe you aren't all called to be a prophetic voice. It's not fun to be a prophetic voice sometimes. But what Jesus is saying here is it's not all about the prophetic voice. It's not all about someone called to look through the scriptures and find the places where the old prophecies apply to our lives now are fulfilled in our hearing. That's not the only job that we have. That's not the only way God calls people. Because that wordplay, the fishers of people, the fishers of men, reminds us, Jesus finds these fishermen and says, what you are doing is not all you could be doing. But at the same time, he does not invalidate the profession. He does not say it's not a worthy calling to be a fisherman, does he? What does he say? He says, I call you to be fishers of people. You are doing a job that is important and that is good and brings you skills. You learned how to do things as a fisherman. You learned how to gather fish in the sea, and it was important work, and it is important work, and you are good at it. But I call you to be great at it. I call you to see that you will not be fulfilled in being a fisherman alone. You will be fulfilled when you bring that up and reach the people who are likewise lost in the world. I call you to follow me and help people, both by feeding them and by bringing them the eternal food of God's love and word. And this is an important message, and this message is something that has been used through the ages to remind us that it is not only the eloquent who are called. It is not only the professional preacher that is called. It is the person who is laboring. It is the person who is working. It is the person who is good at living in the world and knows how to live in the world, knows how to repair nets, and then can speak to other people who can repair nets, who can be out in the world seeing all of the different places that God is, and people may not be hearing, and that those gifts help us as a church not only to spread the word, but to cast our nets. Because it is easy to view Christian mission as a job of going around and speaking the gospel as we learned it from the Bible, and people will take it or leave it. And some people look at Christian mission that way and at evangelism that way. But what Jesus is doing in this call is saying, we need to find ways to speak to the people we are speaking to. Jesus does not come and say to them, I am the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, come and follow me. Jesus says, you are fishermen. Come and be fishers of people. He uses their experience to talk about what it is they could be doing, how they could be transforming their lives, and that is what we are doing here. That's what we're trying to be doing here anyway. I'm not as good at it as some people are. I would love to be the guy who can speak to every single person in the language that they recognize and understand. But long, long work with Baptists in North Carolina taught me I'm not that guy. I can do some of it. I can do some of these things. But my examples do not resonate with everyone else. And that's why we are all called together to bring our gifts to the church here. Because ultimately, some people will hear the word from me. But some people will see you out transforming lives, out serving other people, serving them food, bringing them company when they are alone. Being able to answer that question, what is it that you do because you go to church? And you tell them. And you say, it's not my entire life. I'm not a professional at this, but I try. And that's how you get going, to see, to show other people, yes, this is part of the good news. It brings me joy to serve other people. It brought me joy to fish, and it brings me more joy to fish for people. So on this day of call narratives, I turn to you and ask you, what is it God is calling you to do? God has given us all gifts that we share with one another. Just as God gave gifts to Andrew and Peter and James and John, those rocks of Jesus' church. What is it God is calling you to do in this church and in the church universal, that we may fish together, that we may find the people who have not heard God's word either, the simple words in a literal way of the Bible, or the important words, somebody loves you, and you are not alone. You may not fit in, but that's all right. We don't always fit in either. That word that brings someone from this week until next week. I challenge you all, think about the ways we can speak those words together and apart with our different gifts in our different places. How do we find the people that need it? How do we cast our nets wide? Whatever we do, we will do it together, following in the footsteps of these four people, the first disciples, but not the last.